the past couple of days have been consumed with commentary and analysis regarding fired FBI Director James Comey's testimony before Congress. Joining me right now is Rabbi Jack Moline, president of Interfaith Alliance. Jack, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton. It's always a pleasure to be here.
What were your thoughts as you watched this hearing and heard about this hearing on Thursday?
I was distressed to hear how much there appeared to be a breach of protocol, certainly of common sense, and maybe even the law. It is, I think, a crisis for those of us who believe in the promise and the realization of this country's dream, that we have this intrigue going on in the palace that has nothing to do with what's really important to Americans and to America. What we are beginning to see in these investigations of the president's activities is, in a very peculiar way, what we saw during Watergate. In the end, President Nixon was not done in by the actions of the people in his sphere. He was done in by his attempt to cover up and obfuscate what happened. And if that's what's going on in the White House right now, it only causes me more concern that the president now doesn't learn from the lessons of history.
Without naming names, can you comment on whether lawmakers you speak to are more gravely concerned about and more importantly committed to addressing the state of our nation and executive branch than they let on in public?
Yes, I can tell you, having talked to people on both sides of the aisle, that people are 100% concerned about the future of the country. There's no question that party politics and partisanship is still alive in Washington. But I think even the casual observer can see, in looking at the statements that are coming from leadership in both parties, that there is a grave concern here that we not lose ground that we have worked so hard over all these decades to gain.
Is there any chance, Jack, that these people on both sides of the aisle are talking with each other in ways that they are not talking in public?
Oh, I think there's every chance of that. And I'm not sure it is, whether it is motivated by a certain patriotism or whether it's just motivated by the practicalities of needing to govern. But everybody recognizes that a dysfunctional White House is not good for the country. It's also not good, frankly, for either party, but it is primarily not good for the country, and they have absolutely addressed that with each other. Absolutely.
Is public pressure at all effective? Because there have been successful efforts on the right to convince conservatives that any protests against the Trump agenda are just Soros-sponsored political theater. So are there voices that are actually being heard from the public that are making a difference in what goes on?
I think the answer to that is yes. I'm not sure how much of the public I represent, but I will tell you, I'm pleased to share with our audience that that this past Monday, I was part of a very small delegation that was invited into the Justice Department to speak with lawyers in the Civil Rights Division about an agenda moving forward. And the president's executive order, as I think everybody knows, on religious freedom was a little vague, and they were looking for guidance. They've been speaking to people across the spectrum on what they ought to be doing in order to protect religious freedoms and civil rights in the country. And the voices of people are being heard at the policy implementation level, which is, I think, far more important than whether people are happy with the president himself.
Would you talk about the president's decision to not make any proclamation for LGBT Pride Month this year, but instead to address the brutally anti-gay Faith and Freedom Coalition's conference just a couple of days before Washington's Pride celebration this weekend?
Yeah, the question is its own answer. Well, you know, the president was elected with significant support from the evangelical community. Mm-hmm. and his emphasis on loyalty to his supporters and loyalty from his supporters means that when he has the opportunity to provide them with some validation, especially if it costs him nothing, he's going to do it. There really is no excuse in this day and age for any government official not to acknowledge the place that LGBT individuals and the LGBT community as a whole now plays in our society, in our culture, in our politics. We all know that the religious right is more about politics than it is about religion.
Right.
I think you're famous for saying the religious right is neither. So it's not a surprise to me that given the opportunity to stroke a community that supported him and ignore a community that pretty much abandoned him, he made the choice that he did. He has not brought this country together. He has instead exacerbated the partisan divides that helped to put him into office.
Interfaith Alliance is publicly calling for a U.S. congressman to step down. I'm very pleased the Interfaith Alliance is doing that. I am very sad that, again, such action comes from Louisiana. Would you talk about what prompted this action of asking a congressman or suggesting a congressman step down?
Sure. We're talking about Representative Clay Higgins from the 3rd District of Louisiana. It's the Gulf Coast District that is west of New Orleans. He refers to himself as the Cajun John Wayne. He has almost a cartoonish approach to public office. He was removed as a spokesperson for the law enforcement department where he was previously employed, and the local party found him to be an attractive candidate in an era of extreme partisanship and extreme pronunciation. When he posted on his Facebook page after the deep tragedy in London that the free world, and he equated that with Christendom, was in a war against the horrors of Islam, and that our mission should be to hunt them down, identify them, and kill them all, and that's a direct quote. Interfaith Alliance, all of us, recognized immediately that we had a public official who was not only calling for extrajudicial murder, but was also, not insignificantly, violating the Constitution that he had not many weeks ago taken an oath to protect and uphold, establishing one particular religion as dominant and justifying acts in the name of that religious tradition on behalf of the United States, slamming another religious tradition and lumping all Muslims together on the basis of the actions of some few outliers. Mm-hmm. And his clarifications weren't any better. He simply said, well, I don't mean all Muslims, I just mean the bad ones. But let's round them up, question them all, and then anybody who isn't guilty, we'll let them go with our apologies. This is a man who has no business serving in the House of Representatives. There are 434 other lawmakers of integrity who are suffering because this bad apple is in their basket. And so we called for his resignation, and if he doesn't have the integrity to do that, for the House to expel him.
Why was it important for the Interfaith Alliance to take a stand on this when a lot of other organizations seem to have just let it go by?
I think a lot of other organizations are looking at a bigger picture of policy issues and behaviors in the White House. And I think if people start paying attention, they're going to see that there's a lot going on of bad behavior by individual lawmakers, particularly those who came to office campaigning with a partisan agenda, with an anti-Muslim agenda, with sometimes a racial agenda, and they feel free to say these things because it was validated at the highest levels of the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Interfaith Alliance has always stood for civility, has always stood for the healing power of religion, has always stood for the importance of protecting the most vulnerable among us from the natural inclination of humanity to stereotype on the basis of a few actions. So
we were the ones who would notice this immediately. I suspect that we'll be in coalition with lots of other people pretty soon.
Yeah. I want you to talk briefly about the other work the Alliance is engaged in and how listeners can get involved and support that work.
We've had actually a terrific couple of weeks where we have been contacted by people in places where we do not at the moment have alliances, asking how they can organize their friends into an Interfaith Alliance affiliate in their home state or their hometown. Reach out to us. We would be glad to work with you on that. The voices of people in states and localities are at least as important as the voice of Interfaith Alliance that comes from Washington, D.C., because those are the people that local officials and even federal officials elected at a local level are going to listen to. So number one is getting together with your compatriots, your friends, your colleagues, and working with Interfaith Alliance. It will help to provide that guidance. Of course, keeping us in business and keeping us thriving is also important. We're about to embark on the fruition of two campaigns that we've been working on. One is the redistribution of our Truth About Muslim Americans FAQ. It was developed under your administration. We want to put that in the hands of every federal legislator and every governor in the country to counteract some of the nonsense that's being spread by people who are Islamophobes. And our mapping project has entered its second year. We're at the point now where we've begun to engage our panels of scholars and analysts who will look at some of the data that we have in front of us and provide the kinds of materials that are necessary for conversation and learning and advocacy. So contributions will help us get where we're going.
Rabbi Jack Moline is president of Interfaith Alliance, working to protect true religious freedom for all Americans. State of Belief is one of a number of important Interfaith Alliance initiatives. Find out more at interfaithalliance.org. I know the challenge, and I just want to say thank you for what you're doing, and as always, thanks for taking time to be with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton.